Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to our second reading in Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then thou shalt not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn, that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. Declare ye in Judah, and publish in Jerusalem, and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defensed cities. Set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north, and a great destruction. The lion shall come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He is gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy cities shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. For this, gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes, and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Then said I, ah, Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul. At that time shall it be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a dry wind of the high places in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people, not to fan nor to cleanse. Even a full wind from those places shall come unto me, so now also will I give sentence against them. Behold, he shall come up as clouds, and his chariots shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? For a voice declareth from Dan, and publisheth affliction from Mount Ephraim. Make ye mention to the nations, behold, publish against Jerusalem, that watchers come from a far country, and give out their voice against the cities of Judah. As keepers of a field are they against her round about, because she hath been rebellious against me, saith the Lord. Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth unto thine heart. My bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled, and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black. Because I have spoken it, I have purposed it, and will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. The whole city shall flee for the noise of the horsemen and bowmen. They shall go into thickets and climb upon the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man dwell therein. And when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do? Though thou clothest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thee with ornaments of gold, though thou rentest thy face with painting, in vain shall thou make thyself fair. Thy lovers will despise thee. They will seek thy life. For I have heard a voice as of a woman in travail, and the anguish as of her that bringeth forth her first child, the voice of the daughter of Zion that bewaileth herself, that spreadeth her hands, saying, woe is me now, for my soul is wearied because of murderers. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Remember, I told you when we began the book of Jeremiah that we were in for something of a rough ride. Well, this chapter is an extension of that rough ride, although there is, at the beginning of the chapter, something of repentance. And we want to make sure we take note of that. There is a call for repentance, and it is a competent call. It is the call of the Lord for repentance. And so we must take a look at what this repentance looks like. Notice, first of all, if thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove, and thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. So repentance has a particular description here, doesn't it? It's not just, oh yeah, I repent, and just, you know, kind of chunk out that word. Can we just put this behind us now? Can we, you know, it's not like that. What does this repentance look like? First of all, it says there must first be a desire. If thou wilt return, there must be a desire to turn unto the Lord. Then return unto me. Return unto me. That is, like Paul will tell the Thessalonians, how that ye turned to God from idols. There's a turning to the Lord and away from everything else. That is, away from our own strength and prowess, away from our own self-congratulating ways, away from money, power, prestige, whatever else it is that the world depends on. There's a turning away from all of those things. Remember that we still have idols today. They're just not as overt as they used to be. They're not statues, at least not in some cases. Then, notice, okay, first you must desire repentance. Of course, that is a gift of God. Then you turn to the Lord. That's the second. The third, put away your abominations. Put away abominations. This is what John Baptist said to the Pharisees when they came out to meet him. And he said unto them, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Then he said, do works meet for repentance? Do works meet, M-E-E-T, for repentance? That's an old English way of saying, do the things that show that your repentance is true, is real, is actual repentance, and not just repentance in word. You remember there's a point in the book of Acts, I think it's Acts chapter 19, where Paul is preaching, and they have a book burning. You remember that? Now, this is not a book burning in the tragic sense of the way that we often hear about it. Oh, they burned books. They were bad people. No, no, no. This is a good book burning. They burned all of those books that had the superstitious and curious arts and witchcraft. And notice that the government did not come and steal those books and burn them. No, they brought them willingly. And even, I don't remember what the figure was, but there's a number given of the amount of money that was burnt up that they had spent on those books. In other words, this was a costly and true repentance. What does the prophet say here? Put away your abominations. That's part of what is considered repentance here. Okay, so three steps that we saw. Desire, return to the Lord, put away the abominations out of my sight. And the Lord says, then thou shalt not remove. And of course, he's speaking to the remnant that's in Israel, in the northern kingdom here. Okay. All right, so that's the first thing. Then secondly, the Lord turns his sights on Judah and Jerusalem, and he has some things to say to them. Break up your fallow ground is the first thing he says. The first thing is break up your fallow ground. Some of you know what fallow ground is. That's land that is lying untilled for, some years. Sometimes you can let a field lie fallow for 1 year. You want to give it a rest. But normally what's spoken of is letting a field lie fallow for a long time. And what happens is that it becomes, crusted over, and it needs to be churned up, tilled, made supple once again so that you can plant in it. So that's the first thing, is the hearts of Judah, because of their abominations and their idolatry, have become like a fallow field in which nothing can take root and grow. And so the Lord says, break up your fallow ground. Break up your fallow ground. So that's the first thing. And that's a metaphor for what? For saturating yourselves with the Word of God and turning away from every other thing. Now notice the second thing. He says, sow not among thorns. Well, to every reader of the New Testament, especially the Gospel of Matthew, we know where that's going. Right? There's that third seed that is cast among the thorns, and what happens? It grows up and it is choked out by the cares of this world and it becomes unfruitful. Okay, so notice two steps here. The first step is break up your fallow ground. Make your hearts tender for the seeding of the Lord, for the planting of the Lord, that the Lord's word would find root in your hearts, that you're not so very distracted, that you're not so very drawn away, that you're focusing on readying and preparing yourselves for the seed that is going to come. This involves preparation to come to church on Sunday. It involves preparation when you go to read your Bible privately. Let's be honest with one another, brothers and sisters. This is a bane of our race, but we're able to read things and then come to the end of our reading. We don't remember a thing because our eyes are able to follow words while our minds are busy doing something else. Prepare yourselves. Sharpen that blade that it has penetration in that ground and tears it up. Ready yourselves when you come to God's Word and pray that the Word of God would have free course in your hearts. And then, excuse me, sow not among thorns is the next word. Sow not among thorns, that is, don't think that you can plant in ground that is laden with the cares of this world. Focus upon this world, upon your whatever those things are, those worldly cares that draw us away. Rather, subdue your worldly cares to the kingdom of God. So, sow not among thorns and break up your fallow ground. Two steps there. Then notice what he says. Also heart work. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Well, we may as well throw in the towel there. We can't do that. We don't know how to do that. We don't know how to circumcise the foreskins of our hearts. That's the work of the Spirit of God. So what is being commanded here then? If we cannot do anything with regard to the circumcision of the foreskins of our hearts, the cutting away of the filth of the flesh, if we can't do anything, then why ought we to try anything at all? What the Lord is commanding here is to put ourselves in the way of means, to be found in the place where such circumcision takes place, to make the conditions right for it, not to give the Lord any reason to withdraw His comfortable presence, His work in our lives. We cannot circumcise our own hearts. That's the work of the Lord. But the Lord does call upon us to be diligent in the use of the means of circumcision of our hearts. And so we hear sermons. We prepare ourselves. We come with hearts that are unfallowed, if you will, and hearts from which the thorns have been removed. We want that kind of preparation when we come to the Lord. So, break up your fallow ground, sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Take away the foreskins of your hearts. And then notice also, you men of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. And the Lord is talking about temporal and spiritual judgments there. Temporal and spiritual judgments. Well, these we've only gone five verses or so in the chapter, but take a look at the depth and the riches that we've seen here. All right, so then in verses 5 and following in the next section, the Lord pronounces judgment, but he has the prophet preaching unto them. And remember, as long as there is a prophet preaching, there is hope for repentance, right? So the Lord now turns from the people generally to the prophet and calls upon him to publish a message in Judah and Jerusalem. Blow the trumpet, gather together and assemble. This assembly is not for making merry, it is for defense. Set up the standard toward Zion, that is, as faithfulness is the best defense. Assemble yourselves as if you were going in great solemnity to Zion to worship. Not simply Zion as a strong city, but as a city of holiness. And then beyond that, the Lord declares his coming judgment. It's an interesting thing, right? So, I'm going to have to wrap this up very quickly. The Lord tells Jeremiah that he's coming in judgment. Okay? What's the remedy? There is no remedy. So, gather yourselves together to worship the Lord. Gather yourselves together to call upon his name. Gather yourselves together and receive the comfort that comes from dedicating yourselves to the Lord. Hear the word of the prophet, because Jeremiah is going to have a very hard word for them. He's going to tell them what? Go out, be captured, be taken to Babylon. Give yourselves to the king of Babylon. Give yourselves to Nebuchadnezzar. Go there, build houses, have children, pray for the peace of that city until the Lord restore you. That's going to be his word. They won't hear that word if they don't come to where Jeremiah is preaching. They need to hear that word. All right, so then the Lord speaks about the certainty of his judgment. Remember what I said, the two-step understanding of Jeremiah? The iron pen and the new covenant? This is the iron pen portion. The sins of Judah are written with an iron pen. The Lord says judgment will come. But if you will survive that judgment, if you will prosper during that judgment, gather yourselves together, worship me, hear my word. Then we hear that there's an announcement from Dan. Why Dan? Northernmost tribe. And that's where judgment comes. That's where Nebuchadnezzar comes. He's going to come from the north. And so Dan's going to be the first to publish. Destruction is coming. It comes from the northern side of things. All right, so then in verses 19 through the end of the chapter, commentators are divided as to whether or not this is Jeremiah speaking at the front or whether the Lord has condescended in anthropopathic fashion. My bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried. The whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. They have not understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Well, I think that this is the Lord condescending in anthropopathic fashion, showing that it is as if the Lord is forecasting what he will say later in Jeremiah, in chapter 3 of Lamentations, when he says, the Lord does not afflict willingly the children of men. We want to hear that this sounding of the Lord's inwards, that the Lord would condescend to us to speak, that he does not take pleasure in the punishment of his people, rather that they would turn and live. This is an inducement to the people of God to hear the judgments that are threatened against even a people that are called by the name of the Lord, such that they would avoid those judgments. They would turn to the Lord. They would repent, as we heard in the beginning of the chapter. All right, well, we'll have to leave it there. Let's continue.